So I decided I thought, hey, I'm gonna stay back today. So, but thank God for technology, we can still meet. And I think God knows that, hey, this I was gonna be sick this Sunday, so I actually prepared a lot of questions. So you guys can do more of the talking and for me to do less of the talking. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we worship you this morning, and whether in sickness or in health, Lord, we know that you're always in control, and our hearts always want to worship you, praise you, bless you, because you watch over us, you protect us. You are Jehovah Jireh, and you provide for us in so many ways that we don't even see. Lord, I pray that your word will speak to us today, and that it will not just remain in our heads. It will not just be knowledge, but Lord, and somehow your spirit will work in each of us individually, so that your word will become more transformative, that your word will become alive in our lives. And it doesn't just stay as a powerless understanding, but but something that really pricks our hearts. Thank you for this time, and we give this time into your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Jehovah Jireh. All right. So we'll go through this passage that we all know, but I think for this passage we're at, I'm deciding to go through it line by line, so that it's almost like a just reading the text and then studying it word for word. So that we won't have to skip anything. We just take it slowly. We got 2 weeks on this. Let's just begin in Genesis 22, 1 through 14, if you have your Bibles. And can somebody read verses 1 through 2? 1 to 2.
Genesis.
One to two.
Okay, Genesis 22.
One to two.
1 to 2.
Let's see.
All right, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we often just read this and skip it, but because we heard it so many times. But this, when you actually read it, it seems pretty cruel, right? Which God, what kind of God would tell you their sons and daughters to give up and offer up their son? It's basically child sacrifice, right? Who would believe in a God that does child sacrifice? No? Yeah, that's it's very odd. So I think it's worth our time to really camp here and go a little bit by a little bit. Now, mind you, when God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac to sacrifice him, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. So Abraham is around 125 years old now. And Isaac, no one knows how old he is, but around 10 to 25, maybe around 20s. I don't know if any of you guys are in your 20s, but if your daddy wants to take you up to the mountain and sacrifice you, that's a weird, weird story. That's a weird day, right? Even if you were 15, I mean, if you say, hey, come up with me, we're going to go sacrifice to the Lord. I'm going to tie you up and put a dagger in you, and hey, you're strong. I mean, if you're 15 to 20, you're strong. You're probably stronger than your daddy right now, right? That's a weird day. So here he says, take your son, your only son. Did Abraham only have one son? Mm-hmm. No. Some of you guys says no. How many sons did he have? Two. What was the other one? We talked about this a couple weeks ago when Pastor Alex was talking about Jehovah El Roy, right? The other one. Hagar's son, right? What's his name? Ishmael, I think some of you guys said it. So why did God say that is your only son? So I want to, you don't have to answer right now. You can just get into your small groups. Why did God say it's your only son? And then also, in your small groups, I want you to talk about the difference between something that's real and something that's counterfeit. What's the difference between something that's real and something that's counterfeit? And last night while I was sleeping or half sleeping, I thought about Air Jordan 1 retro, okay? Because I've been looking for counterfeit. Okay. I can't find it, right? So there's a reason why we want to find counterfeit, right? Why? What are some things it's okay to have counterfeit? What is it, right? Talk about the differences. Give you 5 minutes and then we'll come back and discuss, okay? All right. Oh, hey guys, so what did you guys say? What's the difference between the similarities and the differences? Yes, we can use actually like shoes, right? When it's a real one and a fake one, what are the differences in the same? Like, what are the characteristics?
Not as good. And
the stitching was not as good.
The stitching is not as good. How do you know? Is that Ryan who said that?
You know it.
Okay. How do you know the stitching is not as good? How can you tell?
Like if you take the insole out. Like half feel part of it. Really combined. But if you get like reps, then it's like
Oh, can someone repeat that? I didn't hear that.
He said it's not a line. He said that
it's not a line. Okay.
The sole and the stitching is not a line in the what?
In like the heel part.
In the heel when you take out the insole.
Oh, okay. So only someone who has the real one knows that, because how would you know it's inside, right? I'm just talking about the outside, but it's the inside. The soles are different. The stitching is different. Okay. Anything else?
He said you could also tell by what? The top.
Yeah, like the toe part of it. If it doesn't come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if it doesn't come back.
Supple leather.
Interesting. Wow.
Interesting. Interesting. Now we know. We know there is a difference. But it is like a third of the price if you buy the fake one, right?
Sure.
Like I found some Pumas that look like it, and it's like $50.
I think you get
it. These are real. These are real.
That might be a real one.
They're just trying to copy it, but it just doesn't look the same. Okay. Okay. Anything that you guys talk about counterfeit that stood out in the group that you want to mention? Doesn't have to be shoes.
It has like the same function, but it's less quality and cheaper. And we said the source is unknown. Like you just don't know where it came from.
Okay.
When you have the real one, then you know where its source comes from.
Yeah.
And then we're thinking about when it's a quality source, then they stand behind their promise, right? Like they're guaranteed. Mm. Product. So they stand behind the quality of the product, right?
Right. It's vetted, right? You know that there's customer service behind that and they stand by it, right? Whereas counterfeits, who knows? They can sell it to you today and tomorrow it's gone. It's just for a one-time or it's not long-lasting, it's not sustainable. Okay, yeah, anyone else? So how does that, as you discuss that, how does that fit into why God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, even though I know you have Ishmael, who is the older brother, stepbrother of Isaac? How does that, when you think about it, how does that match up?
God is calling out the legitimacy of Isaac, calling out the genuine, I don't know, the original.
The original, okay.
Authenticity,
yes.
Authenticity, yeah. It seems to me that God also doesn't like counterfeits. He is not, you guys mentioned earlier, he is not going to stand, he's not going to vouch for the counterfeit. And Ishmael was a counterfeit blessing or counterfeit promise, right? That's why, you know, I just never seen it. When I read it before, I never noticed this, but yeah, God just says, your only son, even though he has two sons, but he only recognizes Isaac as the son of the promise. So those counterfeits. You know, we think about this too. You think about Christ and the Antichrist too. That's to come, right? The Antichrist, the counterfeit to who Jesus Christ is, and that when the Antichrist comes into the scene, that many will be led away because it is so similar. But a cheaper version of Jesus Christ, easier version to relate to, but certainly the counterfeit to God's promises. So I was thinking, how important is it to be clear about what are the things of the flesh and things of the spirit. was Ishmael a product of the flesh, even though they both were born of from a woman, right? They both were babies, but it is a world apart, so much so that God would not even recognize Ishmael. And that God would only recognize Isaac. They're doing the same thing, but he would only recognize Isaac. Can someone read Romans 8, 5 to 6, and also verse 8 for us? Kevin, can you read that for us?
For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Yeah, and so everything that we do, we may have the same result. We may be doing the same thing, but there's a difference between the things of the flesh versus the things of the spirit. In your own lives, how do you differentiate when you are doing things of the spirit versus things of your own flesh? How do you differentiate that? Can you guys quickly get into your small groups and discuss that? How do you know? How do you know when you're doing things of the flesh at church and things of the spirit? Can you do things of the flesh at church? Just because you're in church, everything's things of the spirit? How do you know? We'll split up into your groups again. and you can talk about it. All right. I don't know how many groups you guys broke into, but can we start with the closest group to me on the right?
On your right?
On my right, your left.
Hey, did you publish this one, by the way, bro, while we talk? You got to publish?
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send it in.
I can't see it on my other one.
I don't
know if you did. Oh. So how do we know the differences? That's a hard question. When I was reading this, I wanted to know. You know, I think it's worthy of our discussion for us to get together to understand, because verse 8 says those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, that's even if we have the Ishmael, right? Even if Abraham only had Ishmael, it was not going to work. That was not going to fulfill God's promise. Though he had a son, he created a son. So how do you know when you're doing things of the flesh versus things of the spirit?
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Share first.
No, I was on the answer.
The only question, I don't think this is a very easy question that you teed up for everybody. You know, if you say you're wrestling with it, you know, I think, you know, we wrestle with it. I shared a little bit that I'm beginning to discover that even when something is like really good, it could be a good thing, and you're trying to pursue a good thing, you're trying to serve, follow the Lord in a good way. I think the trickiest thing that I've always discovered is to evaluate and kind of check your motives. You know, it's hard to do that. I think I was sharing with our group that if there is, I'm trying to keep this at a high level too, right, Frank? Because I don't think, you know, this can take easily like 3 sessions, right? But when there's a percentage of your motive that is for yourself, what I shared in our group is I don't think the Spirit of God supplies strength for you when you are serving yourself. And so you obviously have to serve on your own strength, but a lot of times you don't know that.
Yeah.
Because there's a motive that you didn't expose, maybe in prayer or by prayer and sitting with God is really important, because you know, I think that's why when you hear Jesus pray and he says something like, God, can you not do this? But he ends up having to wrestle with that to say, if this is your will, let your will be done, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so hard, even for Jesus as a human, to vet through. There's a part of me that doesn't want to fully do it all for you. You know, can I be honest? Prayer, I just want to have, like, I want you to take this cup away from me, you know? But I think it takes prayer to sift through that. I think it takes like that time of evaluation. And so when we don't evaluate and we're, I don't know, doing worship, like leading worship or serving children ministry or cleaning tables, right? Or whatever it is at church, even, or you're at home and you're trying to do something right. Like you know, like as a kid, you want to honor your parents, you want to follow God, you want to do your devotions, but it becomes like a split motive, like there's a motivation in there that's for yourself. I don't think the Spirit gives you strength to serve yourself.
Yeah.
And then you become more easily tired. I'm not talking about just physical limitation. I'm talking about like you become spiritually, like you didn't get as much of out of that, and you're exhausted because it wasn't God. God doesn't supply you more strength, like serve yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like you said, this is a super hard question. I know it's hard for me and it's hard for everybody, but it is a lifelong type of journey. And I suspect, as pastors, that's the whole point of this year's theme is, why do we want to walk with Jesus? Why do we want to encounter him every day? The whole point is, one part of it is to know. Because, you know, you mentioned sitting with God. The more we sit with God, the more we will know whether we're doing things of the Spirit or things of the flesh. Because you can do things of the flesh for at church for 20 years. Is that possible to do things of the flesh at church for 20 years? That's going to be troublesome. And then Jesus said, I don't speak unless I hear what the Father tells me to say. So there's certain things that he wants to say, probably many things he wants to say, you know, but he says, no, I'm not going to say it. I can't say it because that's not from the Spirit. That's not from my Father. Anyone else? How do you know? Do you ever think about this? How do you know if you're doing something that God is telling you, you know, things of the Spirit? And again, there's no, I don't think we're not going to find an answer today, but just, you know, no right answer. Just how do you vet that out? How do you feel that out?
Okay, so since you mentioned that, I'm braver to respond. I was kind of thinking along the same lines of Alex, Pastor Alex. So, like, only you know what your motive is,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you just, I mean, it's really you and God, right? This is, like, no one else is going to know. You can fool everyone else, right? But you're not going to fool God, right? So only two people know, like you and God, right? Really, just to say, I agree with, and I was kind of thinking along the same lines of Alex as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for sharing that. Checking that motive, huh?
If I may add on, like, I mean, you have to be completely honest with yourself too, right? I mean, because you can, and I do this often too, I can say, well, yeah, I'm doing this for God. I'm obeying, right? Like, I can fool even myself, right? Like, I can trick myself into thinking, because I want it so much, I can convinced myself that, yeah, this is what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can convince myself to that point, right? Like, if it's like something I really, really want, right? You know, but again, it goes back to, you got to be honest with yourself.
That's so hard because Abraham could fully convince himself and Sarah, right?
No.
To have Ishmael, right?
Yeah. Because maybe they wanted a child so bad that they would go to any lengths. It's like, it was so convenient that God gave us that command, but we really wanted it too, right? So we're gonna just do it.
Yeah, for God, right? For His purpose, for His promises, right?
To come. Yeah, to and that's how we can. So that's a great point. So that's how we can trick ourselves, right? Like, oh, I'm doing this for God. Even though, like, maybe we have ulterior motives, like, well, we wanted a kid, and it just so happened God commanded us to, right? So it was just convenient. And then, I would go to great lengths, through adultery, right? Which was basically it, right? Going through not my wife, right?
Wow, yeah. Anyone else like to make a comment? Remember when you said that, hey, this, sacrificing a kid or a teenager or 20-year-old was a bad thing. The Bible does tell us, what is God's purpose for this burnt offering?
Otherwise, it would seem really cruel. But there is a pretext to this, right? What do you guys see that? What was this burnt offering really about? I don't think you need to get in small groups for this.
Just thinking out loud, are you talking about when Abraham offered Isaac, or when God commanded him?
Yeah.
Okay. I really think God wanted to test his obedience. Because up to this point, it's like you're kind of like back and forth. You kind of are, but kind of not. And then, you know, you're kind of doing your own thing through Hagar. You're kind of going through, you know, these things through your own means. So I really think the bottom line is, do you trust me? Right? Yeah, do you trust me?
Yeah, in verse 1, it says, after these things, after he had Isaac, and God tested Abraham. So this was, the purpose of this wasn't to really offer to God Isaac, but to test Abraham. So we know that, God's not, asking Abraham to do something that's so just, what's the word I'm looking for? So evil, right? But it is to test Abraham. So only Abraham's in the dark here. He doesn't know what's going on. It's almost like if we're dealing with difficulties sometimes without any explanation, right? I don't know if you guys ever felt like you were in the dark about something, but when you're in the dark and you're obeying God, you're doing what you're supposed to do. But if you ever feel like you're in the dark and certain things come your way, perhaps God's testing you. And he continuously do this in the Bible with all his children. So if you're his children, certainly there's going to be times where these tests come. And it's good to know that God's not doing something evil. He's not asking something that's something that you can't handle, but there is a test behind it. And that does bring some sort of comfort when you know that, okay, God's testing me. But if God is testing us, what is he testing for? Right? If you are in the dark sometimes and you're like, okay, God is testing me. Well, what's he testing me for? And you know, in Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. And this happens all the time, right? It's always about the heart. So for Abraham, God was testing what was in Abraham's heart. What do you think could be in Abraham's heart? He's waited 25 years. He's waited 25 years for this promise, for his son to be born. He's 100 years old, right? He's waited all this time. And God says, I want you to take your full-grown son and offer him up basically kill him at the altar. What could be in Abraham's heart that God is testing?
I think it's that motive, right? And whether or not your faith is pure, right? I don't know. That's what I feel like I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Why does God allow certain things to, like, let you go through the fire? And we have songs of that. Or, like, last night, one of our college students shared from Psalm 139, the first six verses. But when I think of 39, that's like, you know, at the end of Psalm 139 is where David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, right? See if there is any way within me that is not in your everlasting way," right? He basically says, purify me, but what is he purifying? Like, purify my heart, purify, I don't know, so if you're going back to your counterfeit thing, you know, like Ryan would very much well say that the counterfeits don't stand up to the test, right? He has the pushing test, right? The tip of the, right? He's doing it right. Yeah. And when he pushes it on the toe, boom, that thing bounces back. There's test. And the counterfeits, when put to the test, because Ryan wears that for looks, but the reason why Air Jordans were made with so well was because they wanted a better shoe for basketball than Converse,
mm-hmm.
which was the Chuck Taylors, which were actually the basketball shoe of the time, right? Nike was developing a shoe that would stand up under the stresses of basketball so that it is totally, as Cindy said, like, it's coming from the source, it's Nike. We stand behind the promise, we stand behind the commitment to provide you the best basketball shoe. That's actually what Dunks and Air Jordans were for, not for, like, just looks, right? And when you play with them, they stand up to the test. They're being tested. I don't know, right? They're being tested by the players. And when it stands up under the test, then you know this is real. This is pure. This has been, like, purified. We've gone through the labs. We've tested these shoes thousands of times. It stood up under the test. These are real. And I think that's what God, you know, I don't know, that was kind of a weird tangent, that God does with our faith. He's testing our faith. He, you know, Abraham's gone through all this, like, stupid decisions now, and God's like, is your faith gonna stand this test? Right? It's almost, from another perspective, it's like, I don't know, to make it relevant for the youth, because Frank, I see, we have like five of our kids here, right? And they're not in this conversation, okay? But if I was to tie it to them, it's like, you hear all this stuff, you hear all of God's promises, you've been baptized, all of them sitting there have been baptized, right? They're here mostly, I don't know if they're hungry, or they're here mostly because their parents are here. And it's like, we would rather you be in here than shoot baskets outside, right? Or like, so, or climb the tool shed, right? So that's at least, right? Or that's happy, right? So if I was to say to them, like how this applies, it's like, God's going to test you. Like, God's going to test you. And all these things that you've been hearing in youth fellowship, in, you know, on the pulpit, in Sunday schools, are you going to live it? Because God's going to put you in circumstances where this is, which is crazy, right? When I was young, I'm like, that's not fair. Why does God test, like, why would God test us? He's actually not testing you. He's testing your faith. Is your faith real? Do you stand on what I promised to you to be true? Or are your decisions reflecting that you actually don't trust me? Right? Like, I'm gonna put it right here. Like, you can choose. God's gonna be like, you can choose. I know you love this, but my promise is this. I know, Abraham, you love your son, but my promise says this. And if I tell you to do something and it seems very crazy, are you going to stand on my promise and trust me, even though I know you love this? So what he's testing you in is your faith real or is your faith counterfeit? Are you sitting here just because your parents tell you it? Or are you sitting here because this is a genuine test of your faith? If you hear this, are you gonna just say yes, Lord, or are you gonna say, you know, I'm not really gonna sacrifice my son, you know, because I don't, my faith doesn't really believe that you're gonna come through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, do you guys understand? Right? I'm just trying to link it for you guys this morning so you don't walk out of here and go like, well, that was a colossal waste of time for me, right?
Yeah, thanks for doing that. That's Alex. And I think what was in Abraham's heart is exactly that, right? It's he says in his heart, he's like, I've got my son. I got my salvation, right? I got my baptism already. I'm in the family of God. Why do you need to test me? I'm good. I'm living the good life now. I have my promises. My son Isaac, I'm gonna get my land. It will be a blessing to all nations. I'm good. And I think that's what is in his heart. And that's in a lot of our hearts is I receive Jesus. I am baptized. I'm good. But God says, are you good? Because you have Isaac already. Are you really good? Let's find out, because there may be some problems there, right? Is what is pure in your heart? What is in your heart? Do you really trust me? Or you waited all these years with all patience and faith, and you got your son, and you trust in your son now,
right?
You trust in the thing that you have. And with Isaac, you can do all things now. Or is it with me? And that's kind of the crux of the storyline here. And well, there's so much more, but you know, the time is up, and we'll notice more of the Abraham's preparation to sacrifice Isaac.
And you know what's interesting is that God is testing him by revealing what he loves the most, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Revealing, he's testing him in the area of like, this has got to go. This has got to go. You know, when you love something, right? You're like, dude, you're not going to really mess with this, right, God? Because, you know, you love me. You don't, you're not going to mess with this. Because this.
Well, you promised me this too.
Right. And you'll be like, you can't take this away. No. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, I think, that God tests us in those areas that's actually, it'd be the hardest to obey in. It's hard to actually be like, okay, for you, God, I think you're asking me to sacrifice this. Oh. Or God's just gonna, like, you know, in some, you know, cases, God's just gonna take it away or something, you know? And you're like, why did you take that away? You can think of so
yeah. many. There's so many things to this. Or could God renege? Could God take back his promise? Is that possible? You're sovereign. You promised me this, but I changed my mind. Right? And Abraham's like, oh, no way. You wouldn't do that. Would he? But this is actually a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of layers to all this. But certainly, God is testing what was in Abraham's heart. Yeah. Yeah, let's end it here. Pray with me, will you? Father, thank you for this morning that as we study your word, Lord, we all have to ask ourselves what exactly is in our heart. And you're always testing us what is in our heart, not because you want to make our lives difficult or you want to drag us down, but really, Lord, you want to lift us up and you want to purify us. And you want to bring ourselves, bring us closer to you and to your promises and to your blessing and to your kingdom. And that the testing is not so that we would fail, but the testing is to strengthen us. The testing is so that we would see ourselves in a pure light, see ourselves and see you in a clear state. Well, may if any of us are going through tests of sorts, Lord, we ask that during this time that you'll remind us that your testing is to purify our faith so it becomes gold. It is a good and it's going to create a stronger and a more pure faith in us. Well, we thank you for your testing. We thank you for the things that come from you, that you are for us, not against us. We lift up today's service into your hands and the speaker and the entire worship service and the songs that we sing. May bless your soul. Pray all this in your precious name. Amen.